the darkest of midnights, I've witnessed faith put to the test. And I've watched as the storm blew in with the thunder, but in each trial, he knows what's best. My Jesus, he knows.
Appreciate that, Kayla. Anyone else have a song? Not open your Bibles to John, chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14. You know, I was thinking during what a couple people had said there and what Brother Eric was teaching on this morning. And, you know, you have an opportunity, you have a window to be an influence upon people, to be able to share something with them, and when they can hear, and when they're willing to hear. And too many times we wait, we wonder, and I don't know about you, but when I hear someone passes on, the first thing always enters my mind is, where are they at? Were they saved? And I know that it's a tendency anymore, seems like, for about everybody, when you go to any type of funeral service, everybody seems to be preached into heaven. But it's contrary to what the Bible teaches. And Jesus, there was no greater authority on heaven than Jesus. The thing that I love about Jesus' teaching is this. He could speak in such depths, but yet speak in such simplicity that people was able to understand, and even the smallest could understand what he was saying. The scripture we're going to look at this morning is scripture that I'm sure you've heard, and probably many of you could probably stand up and quote it. But I want to get into it just a few moments, and I want to look. Now remember that Jesus is fixing to go away. He has tried to tell his disciples that he's got to die. They don't fully understand yet exactly what's going to take place, and He's preparing them, and he doesn't want their hearts to be troubled when he has to go through those things. And he leaves a message with them here in chapter 14 that I want to look at. And I want to just give you some thoughts. This may be a very simple message. I make no apologies about it, because I think that we need to simply look in some things that the Bible teaches. And we need to understand some things about heaven. You know, heaven is such a wonderful place if you know in your heart for sure that you're going there. And I'm afraid many people believe they're going there, but as Brother Eric pointed out this morning in chapter 7 of Matthew, Jesus said there's a lot of people that profess in his name or prophesy in his name and cast out devils and do many wonderful works. But yet he's going to profess that he never even knew them. They were never one of his. Not that something happened along the way and they lost grace. They never were. Then if you go on back a few verses in that chapter, you'll find that he said there'll be really few people that will find that straight and narrow way. It's within the grasp of every man, but yet it is outside the grasp of any man. No man can go there by himself, but yet anyone, whosoever will, can come to that place. And so this morning I want to look at the greatest authority on heaven that there is, and that is Jesus. Why was he such an authority? You know, we could sit and say, well, I believe this. And I've heard people say, well, I have loved ones and I believe they're watching over me and hearing what I'm saying. That don't mean it's so. You're not authority on heaven. You've never been there. All you know is what the Bible says. And I'm not sure that you can take a Bible and prove that. And you say, well, I think that. Well, just because you think it doesn't make it so. There's a lot of people that says a lot of things about heaven and hell that they don't really know. But there is one that has all the authority in the world. When they told him that he spoke with authority, that was because he was a word. Amen. He was a word. Amen. He wrote it all. Amen. He was the author. Amen. And finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen? No greater authority there was. That's why I love whenever I get in and I listen to Jesus teach, because he was the authority. I know whatever he says, it is so. And if you disagree with it, too bad for you. The Bible says, let God be true and all men liars. Amen? Amen. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Jesus speaking, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
Now, let me say a couple things before we get into this message. The Bible teaches that there are three heavens. The first heaven, the Bible teaches, is the heaven atmosphere above us where the birds and so forth fly. That is the first heaven. The Bible also speaks of the second heaven where the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets exist. But Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said there's also a third heaven. And the third heaven is a place where God dwells. It is a dwelling place of God. John was caught up and able to see into that third heaven. Now, so when we talk about heaven, we need to understand some things. And people says, well, do you believe in heaven? Well, look back in your Bible a moment. Let me give you these things before I start. If you want to go to heaven, I believe Jesus points out some things that you must believe in. Number one, look if you would in verse 1. You believe in God? Do you believe in God? Do you know who God is? Do you understand the God of the Bible? Not the God that men makes him to be, but really who truly God is. When God in the beginning said, let us, and he wanted us, he said, let us make man in his image. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Do you understand God is the creator of all the universe? Well, I don't believe that. They taught me in school that you better watch it. You want to go to heaven? You better believe in God. Amen? Amen? And so Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? He said, believe also in me. So not only do you believe in God, the triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, do you believe in me, the Son of God? Do you believe that I am God's Son that was sent from heaven down to the earth? Amen. Look, keep your finger there a moment and turn with me to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. In Philippians chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse 5, speaking of Christ, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now this is what Jesus was before he came down. He said, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So therefore, what Jesus did was, being the Son of God, being the one in heaven in which all the angels worshiped and praised, he left that abode, and he come down to earth. And he took upon him the form of a servant in the likeness of men, like you and I. Look on in verse number 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what he did was he came and became as a man. We talked about that, how a virgin all of a sudden was able to bear the Son of God. We talked about that, I think, last Wednesday night when we met, or either Sunday night one. And so therefore, what we need to understand is, we must believe in the incarnation of Jesus, the Son of God, coming down, came into the world through a virgin. And we talked about the importance of the virgin birth, believing it because without it, he would have had corrupted nature, this sinful nature that was passed from Adam onto every one of us. When I had my children, my bloodline, I sent to them a sinful nature. They were born sinners. You say, I don't like to think of that. Well, you might not like to think of it from everybody from Adam all the way down has been, except for one. And that was Jesus, because he was made of the seed of woman. You say, well, I don't believe that a virgin could have a child by the Holy Ghost of God. Well, that's because you don't believe in God. We go back up to the first point. With men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. So therefore, if you haven't started with God, that all things are possible with God, you've missed out on the first point. So now Jesus brings us in John chapter 14 to the second point. He said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. In other words, now you've got to come up and you've got to believe in who I am and what I've done. Yes, he was God. He was God the Son. But God the Son came down, and he allowed himself to come upon the earth, become like man. He lived here, and he did it for one purpose, to become obedient to God and become a sacrifice for you and I And he died upon the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
And he died, the Son of God, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we through him might be made righteous. And so therefore he died, was buried, 3 days later he resurrected. He met with his disciples, he walked upon the earth for a few days, and then he ascended up into their presence. He ascended up in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And the angels told the men that were standing there gazing, watching him go up, that he would be coming back again. So, second of all, you've got to believe in Jesus. Somebody said, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to go deeper. You've got to believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead. You've got to believe in your heart that he was the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that he did on the cross of Calvary for you what you could not do for yourself. He is the Savior of the world.
Amen.
You must come unto him. You say, well, I'm never coming to him, but I believe I'm going to heaven. You're wrong. No man come to the Father but by me.
Amen.
So if you haven't believed in God, number one, you're not going to heaven. But number two, you got to believe farther than that. You got to believe in Jesus. If you haven't believed in Jesus, you're not going. You've got to believe in his finished work, and you've got to put your faith and trust in his finished work. If not, you'll never see heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. He said, well, preacher, my mom and dad was good people. I know they're in heaven. No, you don't. Goodness don't get anyone there. There is none good. No, not one. And he's doing that to apply the fact that no one is good enough to go to heaven on their own.
That's right.
As I said, anyone can go. It's within everybody's reach, but it is out of everybody's reach. You can't get there unless you go through Jesus. He's your only hope. If you've never got a time in your life where you've come to a place where you recognize the fact that you were a sinner and Christ died for you, and you need to call upon him and ask him to come into your heart and put your faith and trust in his work that he come to do, you don't understand the gospel. What we do, what do we run around proclaiming? What do we run around preaching? We come around proclaiming, we run around proclaiming and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do we preach the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Because that is what God uses that gives you the power to become a son of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the son of God. You want to become a son of God? You want to become a child of God? You want to go to heaven? You got to believe in Jesus. If you don't believe with it in your heart, I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about here. Know it. Believe it. Trust it. When you really believe in something, I used to, when I was with the emergency services, for 25 years I taught in the fire school every year. And usually what I taught most of the time was rope rescue. And I teach how to rescue people going over cliffs and going down these towers and so forth and going off bridges. And we had little ropes, about a half inch, 3/8 inch in diameter. Not very big, not that big. And so you had to have enough confidence and faith and trust in the ropes. They were tested 9 to 12,000 pounds. And so I would hook myself up in the harness, and I'd hook somebody else up in the harness, and we'd go over a cliff, or we'd go over the edge of a building or something, or over a bridge, and we'd be sitting there looking way down there, about 200 feet. And all of a sudden, people want to climb back up. Or sometimes we get it, and I'd say, oh, you got to... What you got to do is you got to sit straight back and put all your weight on the rope and trust in the rope. I said, but that rope don't look big enough. Well, to be saved, what you have to do is completely trust in him. You say, well, I don't understand. It doesn't matter whether you understand or not. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he goes on, he says something else. Why should we believe in him? He goes on to explain. He said, in my Father's house, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the third thing he said is the reason why is because you got to believe in heaven. Some people say, well, preacher, I believe there's a heaven. Well, not a lot of people does. There's a lot of people that doesn't believe there's nothing beyond this life. But Jesus said that he's gone to prepare a place for you. And let me say this. The same one that told us about heaven is the same one told us about hell. He said in Matthew 25 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus said that hell is a place of everlasting fire, a place where the worm dieth not, fire is not quenched, and a place of torment. He said in Luke chapter 16, he said it's a place of torment. And listen, he was the authority. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in hell. It doesn't matter what you believe or not. It doesn't change the fact that hell exists because we have had one that created it and made it tell us it was real.
Yes, right.
And he told us everything that we need to know about it, and he also told us that heaven was real. You say, well, I don't believe in heaven. Well, it doesn't change the fact. But the Bible teaches us that when you die, because you were made in the image and likeness of God, you were not only made, and people said, what does that mean, that God looked like us? No, it meant that what we did was he made us everlasting like he was. We have an eternal being. The soul never dies. It's a living soul. And so whether you go to heaven, whether you go to hell, your soul never dies. It continues to exist forever because God made you in his image and likeness. He also gave you the ability to choose. And somebody said, why did he give us the ability to choose? Why didn't he just make us be saved? Because God gets no glory out of that. He gets glory when you hear about his love and you say, well, where's his love? For God so loved the world that he what? Sent his only begotten son. Well, that's the first two points we made. You got to believe in God. You got to believe in his son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know why you can have everlasting life? Because you're either going to go to heaven and spend eternity or you're going to go to hell and spend eternity. You don't have an option of opting out of those things. Somebody said, well, I'll choose number three. There is no number three. There's only number one, number two. So heaven, Jesus said, you also got to believe in heaven. He said, what you need to understand is in my Father's house where I came from were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he says, now I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. So therefore, he said also, not only do we need to believe in God, we not only need to believe in him, but we need to believe in Jesus. We also need to believe in heaven. Why? Because that should be a place that we strive for. And by the way, can I say this? Talking to some of those older folks that Brother Eric referred to here, the older you get, the more you get thinking about heaven. And the more you get thinking about what's beyond this life. Now, sometimes when you're young and working in emergency services for 25 years, I can tell you something, young people. Not everybody lives to be old. You don't know what today may bring. I've seen some people wake up and have the best day in their life and end up a fatality before the day was out. My point is this, you better think about heaven and hell. And you better go on beyond thinking about it. You better believe in them. Somebody said, well, are you trying to scare me? No, but I'll tell you what. Whenever I realized that I was a sinner and I realized what Jesus was sent to do to make a way that saved me from my sin, I tell you what was in my mind and in my heart. If I died, what was going to happen to me if I died in my sins? Well, look real quickly, and we get it from authority. Don't listen to me. Look in John chapter number 8. Turn back over to John chapter 8 a moment. We're going to go to authority, Jesus again. Look, if you would, in verse number 19.
Verse number 18, Jesus said, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is our Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. Now there we go. You got to know the Father. You got to know the Son. And so he said, you don't know either one of us. So they failed the first 2 points of their test. Look, if you would. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. You know why? Because no man come to the Father but through him. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die where? In your sins. And whither I go, ye what? Whoa. Listen to me. The authority said, if you die in your sins, we know where he went. He ascended back to the Father. We have record after record after record of that. He went back up to God. He sits at the right hand of the Father. So if you die in your sins, you can't go where he goes. So therefore, everyone, I don't care what people preaches at funerals, if they died in their sins, they didn't go where Jesus is. Because you can't. Look back in your Bible. Let's look at authority. He says, if you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he saith unto him, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. And if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall what? Well, you say, well, how can I keep from dying in my sins? Believing in Christ. You got to believe in he. That is he. Now, if you don't believe it's he, you're going to die in your sins. And so therefore, I don't care how many people gets up here. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they claim. And you have everybody row after row getting up here and say, oh, he's in heaven. I had one guy, a good friend of mine, tell me that he was lost, need to be saved. 2 weeks later, I was attending his funeral. And everybody got up there and walked through, talked about, he's up in heaven doing this, doing this, doing this. I thought, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. By his own profession. Now listen, folks. The reason God told us about heaven and hell is to let us understand where we go from here. And you better make preparations of where you're going. Somebody said, well, I'm going to wait. What if you don't have an opportunity to change your mind? The Bible says that anyone who comes to the Father in John chapter 8, verse 41, that the Father must draw him. Therefore, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why? Because when he's drawing, that's the time to come. When the water's being stirred, well, that's the time to jump in. You better not wait and think, well, I'll tell you what, when I get ready to die, I'll jump in. What if the water's not being stirred at that time? I sat beside a guy on a bed one night, and he cried like a baby. And he said, there was a time when God dealt with my heart, and he says, now I'm fixing to die in my sins and go to hell. And he said that just a few moments before he took his last breath. And I thought, how sad. That's why today, if you hear his voice, you better come. I'm so glad that when he called, I came. So Jesus said, you know, I don't believe that in God, you got to believe in me. Believe in heaven. Also believe that I'm coming back. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Some people laugh and say, oh, yeah, I've heard that Jesus coming again. He's coming. Right. How do we know? The authority told us. Amen. He told us. He's the authority. He said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to receive those of mine. Look, if you would, keep your finger there a moment. Go with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He describes it. Paul says, I'm going to let you in on this little coming back of Jesus. What's happening is this.
I preached her husband's funeral. I preached her husband's funeral. I preached his wife's funeral. I preached his wife's funeral. There are some in the church, I preached your children's funeral. I preached just the other day my sister's funeral, Buffy's mother's funeral. I preached my mother's funeral just last year. What you need to understand is there is hope to those of us who are saved. Jesus said he's gone to prepare a place for us. Now, if you want to read about the place, all you have to do is go to the end of the book and look at the last two chapters, and there's a city that he's prepared. And if you want to see who's in the city, all you have to do is go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24, and you'll find out who's going to reign in that city. He describes everybody's going to be in that city. Amen. And he describes what the city's going to be like. But now what you need to get in mind is this. Everyone who has died because you are created by God to be a triune being, you are body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is dead until you're born again, and then your spirit becomes alive. But your soul is in existence. Your soul is who you are. Your soul is all about your affections, your memories, and all kinds of things, your reasoning, all the things that makes up you who you are is within your soul. Housing your heart, your mind, and all those things. Then you have your body. And every one of us, what happens when we die, immediately the Bible tells us, and if you want to find the authority of Jesus on this, just go to Luke chapter 16. He describes both situations. When you die, immediately your soul leaves your body. You say, well, I didn't ever see that happen. Listen, I probably held over 300 people in my arms and watched them draw their last breath. Watching people die was not fun. But I've seen some go out shouting, and I've seen some go out clawing and screaming. I could tell you story after story. And I've seen some take their last breath, but immediately when they die, their soul departs. Either goes to be with the Lord, or it goes down to hell. From the time that the first one entered hell, they're still waiting in hell for the great white throne judgment. But those that's gone to be with Jesus, after Jesus' resurrection, he took a bunch that used to be in Abraham's bosom with him. Now, no longer does he talk about paradise being down in Abraham's bosom. Now paradise is in the third heaven. Because now Jesus led captivity captive, he took them up there, and now everyone who's died after his resurrection that has believed on him is sitting there waiting for him to come back. My mother, I believe from the depths of my heart she was saved, and I believe she is in heaven right now waiting for him to come back. But there are some people that I love that I didn't believe were saved. Now, I believe right now that they are in hell right now in torments, waiting until that great day of judgment, and they've not seen nothing yet. They think it's bad now. Somebody said, well, I can just imagine what hell is like. No, you can't. Just like the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you can't imagine what heaven's like. It's beyond your imagination. And hell is just that far bad as far as heaven will be good. But now, look at you,
in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because the Bible doesn't leave us any secrets. It's revealed things to us. And notice if you would, in chapter 4, Paul begins to tell us in verse number 13, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. To be described as asleep is those who are saved that has died physically, but they are awake with the Lord, but their body sleeps in the grave waiting for the resurrection. And notice what he says. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those which are asleep. Look what he says. He says, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He said, people who has people die without Christ, they have no hope. The Bible says Solomon, the wisest man that was ever walked upon the earth apart from Jesus, he said this in Ecclesiastes. He said, there's no hope beyond the grave. If you're going to wait to get to grave to try to make things right with God, my friend, you're missing the boat, because there is no hope beyond the grave. Look on. He says, now, I won't have you ignorant concerning those which sleep. Look if you would in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Whoa, there he goes back again to that same old thing. Always through the Bible, the same thing through the New Testament. If we want to go to heaven, if we want to be saved, we got to believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's the gospel of Jesus. That's what he was sharing this morning. Look on. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, that's those that have believed that before they died, will God bring with him. When? When he comes back. Look at you at verse 16, or verse 15. For this we say unto you by what? The word of the Lord. In other words, he said, I'm not making this up. I'm not saying I think this or I hope this. He said, I'm saying it because this is what God told me to tell you. Look on. He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, with the trump of God. Dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with what? Okay, look here. Jesus, go back if you would, John chapter 14 a minute. Jesus said, now listen. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and what? Receive you into myself. You say, what are you talking about? Just what he described right here. You know the next prophetic event's going to happen? According to the Bible. Number one, I believe we're living in the prophetic event of the time right before Jesus comes. You say, I don't believe that stuff. Let's go back to it. Four basics. Jesus said, you got to believe in God. You got to believe in me. You got to believe in heaven. And you got to believe I'm coming back. He said, if I go, I'm coming back. And so you say, well, I don't believe that part of it. Well, if you don't believe that part of it, you don't believe none of the rest of it. Because the authority told us all that. So what's going to happen when he comes back? Listen. You've heard of all these little things. You say, well, I don't know much about the Bible. But you've heard about the mark of the beast, haven't you? Some people run around thinking these shots, vaccine shots, are mark of the beast. Well, I think I have authority to say that that's not true. I will say this, some of the actions of our government is getting us ready to receive some orders that the beast was going to give us. But now get back here. Let's get focused. So what's going to happen? Sometime, and God only knows, we're going to be doing things just like we're doing right now. The time's right. The atmosphere's right. The church age is right. The family age is right. The people's actions are right. Our relationship with God is right. The spirit of Antichrist is right. And someday, Paul said it in the Corinthians, in a twinkle of an eye. Here he comes. The dead bodies will rise, be reunited and glorified and taken with him. What will they look like?
What will they be like? We got this assurance. They will be like him. We don't know exactly what, but they'll be like him. If you don't believe that, look in 1 John chapter 3. But look here. Then those who are alive within that twinkle of an eye are going to be changed. If he came right now, those who are saved right here in this building would be gone. You say, well, I'd sure change my ways. No, he said he'll send a strong delusion on you and you'll believe a lie. Whatever the news media tells you, that's what you're going to buy into. And boy, they're training you for that right now too, by the way. Now, look here. Get back. Go back. And so what I want you to understand is, you say, well, what's heaven like? I don't want to get into that. I don't have time to get in that much. But let me just say this. Some people said, oh, I don't want a mansion. That word mansion doesn't mean what we call mansions. Some people say, oh, I've got a mansion in glory. I said, what do you mean by a mansion? Oh, one of those big old houses, big old huge. That's not what it's talking about. The word mansion means, same thing in verse number 23 that he talks about in that same chapter, chapter 14. It's a bod, abode. In other words, Jesus came here to be able to come down and make a way that he could go back up there and make room that we could go up there and live with him. And we could abode up there with God. In God's house are many places to abode, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, listen, I'm not guessing and thinking. And he said, if it wasn't true, I'm the truth. I wouldn't tell you this. He said, but I'm going to go and make a place that those of you who will come to me can abode. You can live. And so this morning, I want to leave this simple message with you by saying this. I actually was going to get more into heaven, but I'm just going to stop right there and just say this. You can't go unless you believe. And if you're sitting here this morning and you say, preacher, I believe, then if you believe well enough, then your actions will show that you believe. Somebody said, well, I'd sure like to walk the aisle, but I'm too ashamed. If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father. Listen, when I got to the point where I was willing to come to him, I couldn't stand up here and come to him. I had to get way down here and come. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. I was sitting where Brother Eric sat right there, Sinking Creek Baptist Church. And when God dealt with my heart, and I was willing to surrender my will to him and put my faith and trust in Christ, I'll be honest with you, I could care less who was in that building. When I came, I had my focus upon one thing. Amen. Now listen to me very carefully. You say, preacher, this sounds too simple. I didn't preach it, Jesus did. You want to go to heaven? You must come to him. You don't come to him, I don't care what you believe and what they say about you and what you write and what you think, you'll not go there. Only way to go there is through him. Because what he does is, the moment that you believe in him, your sins are no longer accountable by you, but they were paid for on the cross of Calvary. And they are underneath his blood. And his righteousness is divinely transferred, imputed to you.
Amen.
And when God looks at you, he no longer sees you in your sins, but he sees you with the righteousness of his son because you put your faith and trust in Christ. Are you here this morning and unsaved? He's coming.
Yeah.
You better be ready.
Amen.
Death is coming. If you think you're going to live without dying, you're a fool. Death is coming. You better be ready. And boy, Jesus has come. And listen, let me say it one more time. He made salvation within the reach of everybody. Yet it is out of the reach of everybody unless you come through him. Would you come this morning as we stand? Song of invitation. How about this morning? Maybe God is dealing you off. Maybe he stirred your waters of your heart. And you say, preacher, boy, God's dealing with me to be saved. I've never been. Then step out and come. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Believe in him. Well, what do I have to pray? Believe in him. Believe in his heart. Be willing to confess that he was a son of God, and you believe in what he come to do, and you trust in him. There's no certain words, certain prayer. You just need to come as a sinner and look to him as a savior and believe in your heart that he can save you. But you got to come. He says, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you the simplest word to obey is come. Come, let us reason together. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. What do we preach? Come. Would you come this morning as we sing, Brother Porter?